me, man. He comes up to me, Pastor, and he's like acting like he's like three. Pastor, I was just wondering, you know, if when we get to heaven, you know, what color is our hair and teeth going to be? And it's like, oh, I never thought of it, Toby. You know, like he has these like profound questions. And yeah, okay. That's true. Hold on. Go ahead. The answer is no. They wouldn't have. When I see the blood, remember this, it has nothing to do with who's inside the house. When I see the blood, it has nothing to do with your sin. How much sin she has and how much sin she has to do with the blood. When I see the blood, that's all it is. And that's what we have, Jesus. We have the blood of Lamb cleanses us. Amen. My wife did ask me a question the other day, and I did not have an answer because I never, ever, ever thought of this question before. Do you remember what it was? No. Okay. I didn't think it was good. Good. I just remember when you said, I was like, never, ever thought of that. I'm going to have to look into that. Anyone else before we go on? All right, I got six little things for you. Acts chapter 4, you can turn there first, but I just want to give you six life lessons, okay? Very easy, very simple, six life lessons. And the very first life lesson I would like to have you can write it down or just remember it, and let me know when you're ready. Acts chapter 4, did I say 6? Yeah, good. Acts chapter 4. I want you to listen to this real quick. Get encouragement from encouragers. Get encouragement from people that encourage. See, there's people that are encouragers. I like to think of myself as one because I used to be one. After pastoring, I'm a lot less than I was. And that's the truth. I used to be really full of encouragement and had all great stuff to say. And I used to be fired up and floating on cloud 9 all the time. And everybody, how you doing? Now I'm like, yeah, I'm doing all right. Yeah. But my favorite preacher is Kenny Baldwin. And he's just the best preacher ever. I love him. He's just the best. And every day, not every day, once a week, I text him. I send him a text. And he sends back, you are such an encouragement. He said, you're such an encourager. And that's what I want you to realize. We all need encouragement, okay? We need, do not go around people that aren't encouraging you. Get around people that are encouragers and get encouragement from them. Because if you're standing around people that aren't encouraging you, you're going to be discouraged, amen? It's just a simple little thing. Look in chapter 4, Acts and verse 36. It says, and Josie, now this is interesting, Josie means Joseph, or it could mean, what was the other one? I don't know, but just say it means Joseph. And it says, and Josie, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Did you ever hear of Barnabas? You don't hear Josie too much, though, do you? Josie was named Joseph, and it was another Joseph, and so they had names for him, but they changed his name because of what Barnabas means. Look what it says. But they called him Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. He was such an encouragement to everybody around him that everyone loved to be near Barnabas. Barnabas was such an encourager that they literally changed his name to Barnabas from Joseph. And because it means he was the son of consolation. He consoled people. He made people feel better. He made people feel good. Man, be a Barnabas. Amen. Be an encouragement to people. Whatever you can do, if you can encourage one person this week, you've done a good thing. People are depressed. They're down. People want to commit suicide. A friend of ours, a guy that I know, just committed suicide. His wife died, what, two years ago? And ever since then, he could never get over it. He's a year younger than me. And his wife died and just was down. But the past year, his Facebook friend, and I've known him since high school or known him younger, and he was quoting all scripture all the time. So I was like, good. You know, he's drawn close to God. Yeah, he claims to be saved. I don't know for sure. I hope and pray. I think he was. He just didn't go to a real solid church to give him strength, but he started to quote scripture all the time, and I thought, good. I just found out yesterday that he killed himself. And it's so sad. It breaks my heart. Somebody, he needed a Barnabas in his life. He needed someone to encourage him. I'll tell you right now, if you could, you have no idea, and I'll tell you some other time, how many people that I've been around that end up taking their own lives. And it's the most selfish act you could ever do. The most selfish. Because it's all about you and your little woes, and you don't care about the people that you leave behind. Because it's the most selfish act there is. And what it is because something is wrong inside of you and you don't have that close walk with Jesus. But a little encouragement goes a long way. So I just want to let you know, look what it says. We'll finish reading. It says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. And it says, having land, he sold it, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here the church is just starting. How many people heard of Ananias and Sapphira? Anybody hear them? John, give me a little background on them. What do you know? Anything about them? Kept back some, didn't they? Amen. This all started from Barnabas. Barnabas started this. Barnabas got saved, and he was just such an encouragement to the church and to everyone around him. He said, hey, I got some land just sitting out there. How about if I just sell it and give it to the church, and we can get started? And other people said, that's a great idea. That's a great idea, Barnabas. And they all started doing it. They all started selling properties and stuff that they had around and weren't doing it. And they laid it at the apostles' feet, and the church was getting money and be able to do stuff. And all of a sudden, Ananias and Sapphira, they saw it, and they're like, wow, everyone else is doing it. Let's do it. We're going to give you this portion of land right over here. And everyone's like, way to go. Good job. And they go out and they sell it and they find out they get made more than they thought they would. And all of a sudden greed popped in and they said, well, we'll just pocket half of this and give the church that. And who knows what happened to them? Anybody? They died. God killed them. He dropped dead because he lied to the Holy Spirit of God. Because Peter said, is this all of it? And he said, yep. And Peter knew because the Holy Spirit told him, he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And he died right there. And they took him out and buried him. And about a couple hours later, his wife came in. And Peter said the same thing. Hey, Sapphira, is this the money that you got? Yeah, all of it? You sure? Yeah. And he said, you're going to end up following your husband. And she died. And fear went on the whole church. And everyone was like, whoa, this is serious stuff. And it made the church get straighter. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that Barnabas started all that. This guy was great. So get encouragement from encouragers. And the second thing I want you to know is nobody is a nobody. Nobody's a nobody. Everybody's a somebody. And I want you to think, they're a nobody. They're nothing. You know, it tells us in James, in the Bible, it says, as the pastor, if someone real rich and famous comes in, and you say to them, oh, sit up front, we got a seat for you, and all the stuff, but then an old bum comes in, and he smells, and you tell him, sit in the back, he says, you're wrong. He tells him, sir, you're wrong. You treat everybody the same. And that's the thing, is we need to realize that nobody is a nobody. And you might think you're a nobody. And that's a problem. I can't get this in my head because I'm a nobody. I came from a poor family, didn't have a dad growing up, no real education. Nobody in my family went to college. No one. Our first born son was the first person in our entire family ever to go to college. Ever to go to college. And you know why he went to college, Joe? Because right after high school, I had him roofing with me for all summer, and he got third-degree burns all over from the kettle, and he said, I'm going to school. And he went to college for 7 years after that. Yeah, now you want your son to go to school? Have him be a roofer for the summer, amen? But nobody's a nobody. I was never, not an educated man. I'm not this man. I'm not that. But God called me to be a pastor. And if I can be a pastor, you guys can be way past me. And there's nobody's a nobody. And I want you to think about what Jesus valued people. And he influenced people one person at a time. Nobody's a nobody. And Jesus valued people's lives. Amen. We should value people's lives. Amen? And he influenced people one person at a time. If you notice through the Gospels, Jesus would go to one person at a time. One person at a time. One person at a time. I believe that if we will just spend our get in our minds that no one is a no one, nobody's a nobody, everybody is God on God's mind. If Jesus was here, he would spend time helping that person. And what's the first thing we can do? Number one, be an encouragement. Just be an encouragement to somebody. Number three is don't be a drain. Please listen up. Don't be a drain. People drain you. There's people out there, especially when you're a pastor or in, they come to you and, with all their problems. And all you hear is the dump truck going beep, 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 and they're ready to dump everything on you. And it's and that's fine. The problem is as a man and as a pastor, I think I'm supposed to fix it. And I found out, Henry, I can't fix people's problems. I can't fix their problems. And the thing is don't be a drain. You ever been around somebody that all they do is just drain you? And what does, number one, be an encourager, all right? Not a drain. Don't be a drain. There's so many people, like there's people at work that they're just, you know, that one person that's just a drain. They don't work hard. They won't do what they're supposed to do. You know, there's people in your family that they're just a drain. Don't be a drain. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. I'm sorry, I missed a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. For nobody is a nobody. And we have a verse here for you in 1 Corinthians 9, 22. It says this. It says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. See, nobody's a nobody, and Apostle Paul realized that. Apostle Paul said, to the weak, I became weak, that I might gain the weak. And the Bible tells us to condescend down to lower people. No, you're not above anybody. Let's not say, you're not above anybody. You're not better than anybody. You know, we are honored to have two chief of police in our church, ex-chief police. And you can't get any, like, that's the cream of the crop. But they're not better than the criminals that they get. They're just smarter not to be criminals. Amen, John? They're just a lot smarter. They made the right decisions. And what it is you don't look down and say, oh, what a loser. What a bum. What a no good. You know what I mean? That isn't what pleases God, because all of us, if not for the grace of God, we could be the lowest of the low. And so he tells us this, to the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I want you, number four, the fourth lesson is learn to listen. First lesson is get encouragement from encouragers. Nobody's a nobody. And three, don't be a drain. And the fourth one is learn to listen. I think this is a long lost ability. Listen. Now, think about this. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. You've heard that, right? People don't care about how much you know. People don't care about how right you are. People care about, they care about how much you care. And that's about listening. And listening takes caring. Look in James chapter 1 with me, James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 19. And there's many, many more. I'm just giving you short little snippets. It tells us in James 1:19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear. Did you get a call? Did you? Hey, it was great having you. Amen. It says, every man be swift to do what? Hear. Now think about it. Is that hard to listen? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it seems like it is. But it's only hard to listen because you don't really care about what the person's saying. Please listen. You don't really care about what the person's saying. A lot of times it's wah, 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 and you're just, and you don't care. And so I want you to think about, learn to listen. What does it take to listen? Let me give you three little things it takes to listen. You ready? Three things it takes to listen. One is concentration. You have to concentrate. Because what happens when people are talking and you're not listening, your mind starts to wander somewhere else. They're talking to you and they're telling you stuff and your mind starts wandering somewhere else because you're not concentrating on them. If you will concentrate on them and their problem and what they're going through, sometimes people just want someone to listen. Sometimes they just want someone to listen to them. You might say, oh boy, here we go again. Or you might say, that's because you don't care enough. And that's what God is telling us, is be an encourager. Amen. Get encouragement from encouragers. And nobody is a nobody. And don't be a drain. And learn to listen. And you learn to listen by, one, concentrating on them, not you. The second thing is love. Amen. Love. If you will show love to that person, you will care about that person. And if you'll show love to that person, I'm talking about inside of you, not, oh, kissy, kissy. I'm talking about inside of you, love that person. And if you love that person, you'll care about that person, then you'll care more about their problems, and you'll just learn to listen. And the third thing is time. Listening, learning to listen means you have to spend time. How many times, because I'm telling you, I'm the biggest culprit of this. Just say after church, you know what I mean? There's some people here, I'm saying hi, and I'm trying to get people out, but one person's talking a lot, but I really want to hear it. But I look and I see the people behind them, and I'm like, all right. And sometimes I blow people off. And then later on, I'm like, oh man, I feel bad. But I'm only doing it because the people behind them, and I'm trying to care and get, do you get what I'm saying? But I really do care about what other people are saying. And so what do you have to do? You have to time for people. You have to make time to listen to someone. And if somebody has something to say that's on their heart, please listen to me right now. If somebody, have you ever known anyone that took their own life? Me too, a lot. Way too many. One still haunts me, and it's Jennifer. It haunts me. This young, 30-year-old, beautiful, talented young lady just had a baby. She would come to our tent meetings and sing. She sang the opera. Remember the opera singer? Anybody remember that? I know Brian does. Jennifer, her name is Holbrook, and she was just in a beautiful soul. And she was going to a Methodist church with a woman pastor, no growth or nothing, and she was coming here. I really believe God brought her here to be in our church. She was just such a wonderful person. Well, I got a phone call from her, and she texted and said, Pastor, I just want to tell you, thank you for everything you do. I forget exactly. I love you. This and that. Maybe we'll see each other again. Something like that. I'm like, what? This is weird. So I called. And she didn't answer. But then I texted her back. And then what happened was, is the next morning I found she took her own life. And I was like one of the last people to talk to her. And even to this day, it really, like, I had no clue that she was depressed. I had no clue about anything. And to this day, it makes me cry. I'm very upset about it because I'm like, I'll go over and over. If only I could have said something. I could have done something. I didn't know. And the truth of the matter is maybe she just needed an encourager. Maybe someone coming along that week could have been an encouragement to her. Maybe she just needed someone to listen to her. And these six little things, you know, nobody's a nobody, and everybody's got a problem, and maybe they just want you to spend a little time with them, listening to them. It could save someone's life. And the fifth thing is, deal carefully with conflict. Deal carefully with conflict. Because conflict is everywhere. And the Bible gives us a verse. Look at Proverbs 26 with me, please. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Tell me when you're there. Deal carefully with conflict. Have you ever had conflict? Well, we need to learn to deal properly with it. Because what happens when you have conflict and you don't deal with it rightly? What happens? It gets way worse. And we just had some conflict with the neighbor in the back 2 weeks ago. Just because their dog's here and our dog's here, and the dogs were barking. And then they started to yell at my wife. The guy was yelling at my wife. And then his mother came out and was yelling. So I came up and I'm like, what's going on? And I just told him, I said, you don't have to yell. You don't have to yell. And then she started yelling at me and then saying, you're not a Christian. You don't know this. And I go to church, stuff like that. Like, so I just said, okay, God bless you. Bye. You know what I mean? Like, but boy, did I want to say something. You know what I mean? Like, it was in me, Joe. Like, I wanted to say a thing or two, especially about her drunk son. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You know, there's always something easy to throw a little wood on the fire. Amen? But it's best to just walk away. Look what it says here in verse 17. Chapter 26, verse 17 says, "He that passes by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." What does he mean by that? You find a stray dog, you grab him by the ears, what's he going to do? He's going to bite you. He's going to bite you. Amen. And that's what he's saying is do not get involved in other people's problems. Do not get involved in other people's strife. It's easier to just walk on by. Amen. And when you do have strife with somebody, you have to be wise enough to deal with it carefully and realize they have a sharp tongue and they just threw a dagger at you and it hit you and you want to do what? You want to retaliate. You can do that if you want to. And then it's going to be a big deal. It's better to just leave alone. Amen. And the last, but certainly not the least, I'll read them again. Get encouragement from encouragers. How about this? How about be an encourager? Amen. That would be really great. How about nobody's a nobody? Amen. Jesus, he valued people and he influenced people one person at a time. Don't be a drain. Don't be a drain on people. Learn to listen. And that comes by concentration. You got to concentrate on what they're saying. You got to love on them. And you have to spend time. The fifth one is deal carefully with conflict. And the last one is value your integrity. You have something that God has given you. It's called integrity. Do you have any integrity? Oh, wow. We're in trouble. Do you have any integrity? I hope you can all say amen. Because if you don't have any integrity, you got some serious problems. Maybe you didn't at one time have any integrity, but the person that entered into a relationship with you is none other than God himself, amen, the Holy Ghost of God, and you should have some, say it with me, integrity. Integrity is something that it takes a lifetime to build up and a moment to lose, amen? And so we have to guard our integrity, keep our integrity. Let's just do it this way. Put a value on it. It's got to be very valuable, your integrity. Someone give me an idea of how you could lose some of your integrity. Anybody have a thought about it? Shout it out. Joe? Say it again. Yeah, but Joe? Lies, yeah. Yeah, people catch you a liar, you've lost some integrity. Amen. That's a good one. Anyone else think of? Ed? Distrust. Distrust meaning what?
Maybe you want to be a person of your word. You know, you say you want to do something with somebody and turn around and do it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's a little bit like lying. Amen. Joe? Stealing. Stealing. You get labeled as a thief and a liar. Your integrity is way down. Anyone else? What else could do? Tony?
Breaking
a promise, okay? That's a tough one because don't ever give a kid a promise because they'll never forget it. Amen. They'll remember it. Like, you said we'd go to Dairy Queen. I'm like, oh, man, I said that 16 years ago. You still remember it. Anyone else? Yes, Winnie. Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Anyways, but It is. It's letting people down. But integrity is, you got to value it. Let's look at two verses. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says this. It says, the just man, pay attention, the just man walketh in his integrity. Now, why is this so important? Look what it says. His children are blessed after him. If you walk in your integrity, your children will notice it, see it, and be blessed because of it. Amen. You know what's ruined more families or more people is families where the children see the dad or the mom have no integrity. Exactly. And they have no integrity in the eyes of their children because the children see it. And that's where we first build our integrity is at home. It's not about who you are out there. It's who you are when nobody's around. It's who you are when you're at home. And that's, you know, we all have to value the integrity that God has given us. I know, John Wary put a cushion underneath, buddy. We're getting new cushions. We're getting new pews. So please, look with me and we'll finish. Look in Job. Job chapter 2, and I'm done. Job chapter 2. Anyone else there? Anyone else there? Job chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil, and still he holds fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. And Job was destroyed more than anyone else in the Bible or in your world that you ever heard of. And still he kept his integrity. And who talked about it? God did. It impressed God so much that God had something to say to the devil about it. Amen. I'm telling you, I'd love to have the integrity Job had in one little finger. Amen. And so value your integrity. It is important. Do not go around dressed provocatively. Do not go around cursing. Do not let people see you in your car with your windows down and rap music playing. Because I'm serious. All that is what people think of you. That's what integrity is. Integrity is people looking at you and seeing strength, righteousness, honor, someone that they can look up to and trust. As soon as you start eroding that, what do you have? You have nothing. Amen? All right, those six things, I'll quote them and we're done. Get encouragement or from an encourager, be an encourager. Nobody's a nobody. Jesus, he led people. He influenced people one person at a time. Don't be a drain on people. Learn to listen. And you do that by concentration, love, and time. Fifth one is deal carefully with conflict. And the sixth one is value your integrity. Amen. I hope you got a little something tonight. I love you all. I thank you all for being here. I hope and pray you have a great week coming up. No men's Bible study this Tuesday night. Also, we have National Day of Prayer on Thursday. Rose Tree Park at 11:30 to 2. She let me know. I'll be praying about our government. So, boy, pray for me. Amen. There's a lot to pray there. But Thursday's the National Day of Prayer. Kids are play if you want to go. There's something else coming up. What else? There's something else coming up. I can't remember. Also, we're going to have on the 11th, I think it is, we're having May cleanup, spring cleanup outside. Since mostly everything's done, it's not going to be that hard like it was last year. I know you got to work, right? She's going to a woman's retreat, which is great. Yes, Heather, is that a hand up or you just, oh. And so this the 11th, what is it, Brian? The 11th and the what?
18th.
And the 18th, it's two Saturdays. We're going to have spring cleanup, get the church real looking nice everywhere. I'm going to get mulch. We're going to have to mulch around everything, make the property look nice. Anybody see the grass cut out there, how pretty it looks? Anybody? Thank you very much. You're allowed to tell me how good it looks. It edifies me, encourages me. Thank you very much.
And
thank you, Tony. So do you and your wife look beautiful as well. Amen. But tell me if I'm wrong now and finish. On the 19th is a Sunday, and these two young kids over here are going to renew their vows.
Not sure.
Not sure. Well, you better be sure because I'm telling people there's food. So let me know. To be determined. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Okay.
We'll see.
Right,
totally up to you. Who knows where I performed a renewal of the vows on a wedding at a very special place? Anybody know? Not you. Of course, you were there. Anyone else? Anyone know where I was? Come on. You don't listen.